Blog Talk Radio.
Endures for a night,
But we do know that joy, hallelujah, comes in the morning light. So I want you that are listening out there in my podcast, digital radio on tonight, I want you to take courage. I want you to be encouraged. Because it's not over until God says it's over. Whatever you're going through, I don't care if you got a doctor report that come back negative, you got a spot on your breast and it says that you got breast cancer. I want you to tell that demon, tell that devil to go back to the pit of hell in which it came. God died on Calvary cross and he had 39 stripes that was whooped and whipped up on his body. And so the word of God tells us that by his stripes we are healed, family and friends and saints of God. We are healed by his stripes. If it said that you have tuberculosis, you tell that tuberculosis that it might have you, but you don't have it. Tell those tumors to scat. They don't live there anymore. Hallelujah. Anything that got you bound, may it be alcohol beverages, may it be tobacco, may it be weed, may it be heroin, may it be crack cocaine, may it be weed, whatever it is that got you bound, I want you to tell those demonic spirits to go back to the pit of hell in which they came. They do not live in your body anymore. You call all the shots. Your healing is in your tongue. Hallelujah. You can either speak a blessing or a curse to your own self. And so I'm not going to go into that tonight because that is not my sermon on tonight. But I just wanted to give you a words up on tonight and encourage you, you that are going through tonight. Hallelujah. God is your CEO. God is your COO. God is your chief cornerstone. God is the great I am. Hallelujah. God is a God of one, two, three chances. Hallelujah. When the devil wrote you out, God wrote you up. Hallelujah. On his roll to be a worker in his vineyard. Hallelujah. So I'm not going to get started because, see, I'm fired up, wired up right now. I am, hallelujah. I just feel the anointing of God right now at this present moment. But I'm going to try to keep my cool. And so I just would like for you, my digital podcast listening audience, so I thank God for you, as I first stated. And I want you to just get you a good seat and get you a good cushion and put behind your posture and help to enjoy the word of God with me as I present it unto you. Hallelujah. But before we go into any further ado, we're going to go in prayer. So I'm going to ask all of my beautiful and loyal listeners out there and my podcast listening audience to bow your heads with me, if you will, as we acknowledge the one and the only, our Heavenly Father, our Savior, our risen King, Jesus Christ, on tonight. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of sovereignty and love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for assembling us together in unity once again around this spectrum. Lord, we're coming from the north, south, east, and west as pilgrims coming through this bird land. For God, we know that this is not our home. This is just a hole over. For you have a heavenly home up in glory awaits for those that are living according to your command. Hallelujah, Jesus. And Lord, I'm asking you to anoint these lips of clay, God. I'm asking you to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their sins, Father God. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that may be hurting deep within the epitome of their souls, God. And Lord, I would be so mindful to give your name the glory to give your name the praise, to give your name the honor. These and other blessings we ask in thy Son, Jesus' name. And we shall all say, as in unity, amen and amen. And you know, I've been talking about rich man, poor man for more than a couple of days now. And it's just interesting that on last evening, my recording was not what it was. I had some malfunction in my audio. And so I'm coming back tonight, like I said earlier, to revamp it and to revise it, because only for God my best will do. And so we were talking about the rich man and the poor man, and that how that the rich man had lived a good life. He was arrayed in purple adorned clothes, and I mean he had every bell and whistle imaginable at his disposal. Yet the poor man, which was a beggar, and we can acknowledge who this beggar was, for this beggar was Lazarus. And he was a beggar that would go every day and sit at the rich man's gate and just beg for the crumbs. He didn't ask the rich man, give me a steak, give me a roast, give me a pork chop, give me a chicken leg. But I'm just asking for a measly okra crumbs that falls from your table, just like a dog would be wanting scraps that we had left over from a meal. The dog, you didn't give the dog any meat or any bones, but you just gave him scraps. So that's all that the beggar was asking for, was just the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And so, you know, we find out that the rich man despised, hallelujah, the beggar, because he was a nuisance. He came and just sat at his gate, or laid at his gate every day. And can you imagine him sitting at this plush estate, you know, with just beautiful lawn and waters with fountains, you know, just flowing freely and beautiful, just beautiful sight to see. And so the rich man just despised the beggar because he had souls and he was raggedy and he was dirty. But you know one thing I found out about this beggar, that he didn't have any money, but he had one thing that the rich man did not have, and that was Jesus. Hallelujah. He had Jesus Christ, hallelujah, down off in his soul. So he was assured of where he was going to spend eternity, because he had invited Jesus into his life to be his Lord and God and Savior. And so we find out that in the story, I'm just giving you a little highlight of part one. And it was like the rich man, at the last of his life, hallelujah, the rich man began to pray. And he asked for mercy. And he prayed that Lazarus, whom had already died, and an angel had came and got Lazarus, and carried him and put him in the bosom of Abraham. And so he prayed that Lazarus, and like I said, he was a beggar, would bring him just a drop of water to cool his tongue. Now, mind you, he despised this man. And he did not want to have anything to do with him when the man was living and when he was there at his gate asking for crumbs that fell from his table. He wouldn't even give him the crumbs. But now he's going to pray and ask for this same nasty, dirty man to come and just dip his finger in some water and cool his tongue. Now, what about that? What do you know about that? And so, hallelujah. And so, as the story unfolds, the rich man went to heaven, and the beggar went to Hades. And that's a sophisticated name for hell. And hell is a place of fire and brimstone. And nobody in their righteous mind want to go there. You don't even want to go vacation there, because it never rains in hell. You know, they used to have a song that said, it never rains in California. Well, it never rains in hell either. That's a place of fire and brimstone. And a person that don't know God and that will not accept God as their personal Savior will end up there and spending the rest of their life there. There is no end. So you can forget about you're going to die and you're done. You're not going to die, honey. And your soul is going to burn forever and ever. And this place called hell don't even have a bottom. The Bible calls it the bottomless pit. It is the bottomless pit where all the people that don't want to have anything to have to do with God, want to deny God, and don't want to have anything to do with God, this is where they will wind up if they don't accept Christ before the end of their lifetime. And so we know that, like I said, you know, we're living in a digital society to where everything is quick, microwavable, and everybody looks like want to be a millionaire. And the word, billionaire, the word millionaire is just a household name. And, you know, it's just the common name for your average Joe Blow. But I find out that, you know, everybody wants to be a billionaire with a B, you know, as long as you got your Skrilla, as long as you got your Stack, as long as you got your Cheddar, as long as you got your Dove, you know, then, hey, you living high up on the hog. But the Bible says, what does it profit a man, a woman, to gain the whole world and lose your soul? What has it profit you? And we find out, hallelujah, that even though the beggar, the rich man, asked his staff to dig a hole and just put those beggar in there and just throw dirt on him like he was a nobody, you know. It was like he wasn't anything in his life, and then he wasn't anything in his death. But as far as the rich man was concerned, but he had a whole lot, the beggar had a whole lot going for him, because he had eternal life with Jesus. And that's what the rich man did not have. And so we know that everyone in heaven is there because that person is precious to God. And no one is significant in his eyes. But the rich man's prayer for mercy was sincere, and we believe that his prayers were honest. But his prayers were too late. If only he had prayed 5 minutes before his death instead of after. I believe that God's judgment is both fair and is final. So the reply came from Abraham, saying, do you remember? He was called a son because he was on the linkage line of Abraham, and as such should have known the commandments that would have been taught the scripture at the synagogue. He truly was a son, yet the rich man, he ignored his heritage. And it is a strange and mysterious work of God to remind people of their past. When God, by his Holy Spirit, is at work in our lives, he arrests us in our tracks and reminds us of our past. If you have ever driven a car and looked in a rearview mirror only to see a blue flashing light, you would have been aware of 1,001 questions flashing through your mind in an instant. Was I speeding? Did I indicate a turn? What have I done wrong? This is a similar way that God stops us, making us aware of sins within us. When God bids us to remember, we find out that the memory can be quite painful. The voice from heaven explained to the rich man that it is impossible for anyone to pass from heaven to hell. Not that anyone would want to, and nor can ever pass from hell to heaven. Hallelujah. And so we know that there was no mention of purgatory here or elsewhere in the Bible. Only a fixed eternal place of either bliss or banishment. And suddenly as he began to remember the rich man's thoughts of those he had influenced, his five brothers, whether an individual chose to receive or reject Christ, that's his decision. And it often reflects others, not only ourselves, but it reflects our family, our children, and our neighborhood, and our contacts, folks that we have become to know. And so the rich man thought of his brothers, and he said surely he had taught them to ignore the Lord, to live for the moment and not eternity, to ignore the needs of men and women around about. But I believe he began to panic with the fear at the thought of their pointing an accusing finger at him throughout eternity. He begged Father Abraham that at least he would send Lazarus to warn the brothers of his place of torment. In life, the brothers had ignored Lazarus, so why should they take notice now? But the situation was so desperate that logic had gone. And we find out that the Lord of glory does not simply act at the whim and wish of anyone. But Abraham therefore said that God has already revealed himself to man through his word, and that is the Bible. His word is significant, hallelujah, and is sufficient. Witness to the truth that must be believed and also lived, hallelujah. So, friends, it was this lost man that he pleaded, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And we find out that that is such an argument. And it is based on false view, and it is lack of evidence that prevents people from believing. The evidence, however, is convincing. Christ did live, he died, and yet he rose again. And it is not that people cannot believe, but they that will not. Jesus said that it was an evil and adulterous generation that seeks after signs, but that his resurrection from the dead would be the only sign given. We read that in the law of Matthew 12 and 39 through 40. And Abraham replied in a similar way, saying that if they do not hear Moses and the prophet, honey, neither will they be persuaded one that is risen from the dead. So the rich man was silent, and Jesus died, but he rose again. But many still will not believe. Hallelujah. And so, we know that those that decide to change their lives and give their lives to Christ, and if I were you tonight, I don't know who I'm talking to out there in my digital listening audience on tonight, but if I was you and I was in the presence of my sins, I wouldn't put God off another minute, another moment, another second, another hour, another month, another week or another year, because you don't know when God will be knocking at the door of your heart for the final time. You do not know where death is or when God might call your cue card. But we know that a person who finds God, he is a new creature, and he will live a different life. And you say, well, how do you know that, Pastor Ward? I know that because the Bible tells me so. The Bible says that anyone that is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's in the law of 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. And aims, affections, and ambitions totally changes when Jesus comes into your life. When he comes into the life of someone who really trusts him as Savior, their life and their language become new. New Christians find that they have rich spiritual lives and God has become precious as they daily bring their lives under the control of God's standards. They began to find a new outlook. They now see the world from God's perspective. Hallelujah. So we know that a Christian dies a different death. The final enemy is death. But for the Christian, it is defeated foe. Christ arose from the grave and now lives to those who are his. For the believer, death is but the doorway to heaven. Hallelujah. We know that Christ can make you a new creature if you want to. All you got to do is acknowledge your sins, acknowledge that you are a sinner, and that you want to give God your life. Just acknowledge wherever you are, you're standing or lying. Acknowledge that you are a sinner and acknowledge your sin. Hallelujah. And your sin will be forgiven. And there will be peace with God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. He transforms one's life and death. And we know that a Christian experience is a different eternity. Heaven is promised to all who repent and believe. It is not presumptuous to say, I am going to heaven when I die. God in the Bible has promised a place of eternal joy to those who are his children. I want to ask you out there in my digital podcast audience, have you trusted Jesus today? If you have not, I would just offer you to give Jesus a try. Allow him to come into your life. Hallelujah. And make your life anew. Commit your life to Jesus and make him your Lord and Savior forever. If not, do it today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know in ending, I hope and I pray that I have said something, hallelujah, to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind. As I have brought unto you the divine word of truth, till we meet again, I want you to go in God as God goes in you. Bye for now. And I want you to know that if you have any correspondence that you would like to submit to the Old Ship of Zion, you can submit your remittances to Block Talk Radio, in care of the Old Ship of Zion, Senior Pastor Janice Ward. And if you have any email correspondence, you can send your emails to janiceallaboutgod@yahoo.com. I hope you enjoyed the message on tonight. And until we meet again, I want you to go in God as God goes in you. Bye for now. In the Master's hand, just ordinary people, I'm blessed up to you. Ordinary people, yes, it does. It's true. People like
everything.